Disclaimer. We do not agree with or support J.K. Rowling's bigotry and prejudice in any way, shape, or form, and we also do not tolerate Draco stans or Death Eater sympathizers. However, they are warmly welcome to tune into our podcast.
We'd also like to forewarn everyone that we will be mentioning later books and events in every episode, so here's your official spoiler warning. Enjoy the show!
My name's Adelia Volkanov, and I'm here with my friend Colin Bones.
Hi.
Okay, thank you. Today, we will be discussing and analyzing chapters 36 and 37 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
It's Gary Potter and the Goblet of Gyre.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Today is our last episode of this book.
Of Gary Potter, yeah.
Can I'm that be so the happy to be here. Harry Potter and the Hoblet of Ire.
Yep, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I'm so glad you had me on.
In our bios, you can name people as hosts or co-hosts or like whatever. I was so close, just as a joke, as naming you my co-host and me as the host.
Yes.
I think it would have been so funny.
I think
so
we should
funny.
Add Crookshanks as a co-host of this podcast. I feel
that
like
would be so cute.
He contributes about as much as you do.
Nice.
Yep.
Colin is sick today, so he's feeling awfully mouthy. We have not seen each other at all today, so this is the first time I'm seeing you since Friday.
Yeah. It's lovely, isn't it? You look great. I'm digging the earrings. Okay.
What?
Never mind. Just go. It was just a compliment. It's rare. You missed out.
I'll just listen to it when the episode comes out.
Yep.
Okay, great. Anyways, I won a historic episode of trivia last time, 11-2.
Historic?
It was a joke.
Yeah, no.
Anyways.
Thank you for letting me know. I was really lost there.
Okay. The question of the day is really basic, I'm sorry. What would you do with the Triwizard prize money?
Hookers all around.
Oh my god. If ever there was a time when I was like, you know, this is not what I want to put on my college, like, essays to make me unique, it would be this time right now.
No, but for real, I think I would... I don't know. I think... I don't really know what to do with money. I think I'd just buy a fuck ton of Funko Pops. Like, realistically.
I was planning on saying that I would use it to pay for college. So.
Oh, yeah, that too. You know.
I love that your immediate thought was hookers and Funko Pops. And mine was, maybe I should use that money to pay for something like college.
I think that's already the name of this episode. Can we name this episode Hookers and Funko Pops? Is that allowed?
We did mark the whole you did mark the whole episode as explicit, so technically we're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what the hell? It's either going to be Hookers and Funko Pops or Gary Potter and the Hoblet of Ire, whatever the hell I said at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I'll make sure to mark this episode as not Goblet of Fire, but Goblet of Gyre and tribute.
excellent, yep. Thanks.
Well?
Okay. Great.
Go on.
Yep,
go
that's
lead
what I was,
us.
That's...
Yep. Good job. I'm so proud.
Okay.
Good to know. 4 books into this, we still know how to do this.
I don't think we ever knew how to do
this.
Oh, okay. Chapter 36, The Parting of Ways. Why did you pause me?
Sorry. My bad. I didn't expect that reaction. I'm not cheating on you, I swear.
It's fine. It's not like I'm not constantly texting from my computer while we record.
No.
Anyways. Okay. Harry is taken upstairs to Dumbledore's office, where Sirius is waiting for him. Dumbledore tells him that Cedric's parents are with Professor Sprout, and honestly, I've always thought that this is the moment in the book when Cedric's death really starts to be sad. Like, obviously, a child dying for any reason is a tragedy within itself. And immediately after
I know, happens, but, like, who cares, you know? Like,
no, that's not my point. Obviously, immediately after it happened, you're hit with, like, a, oh my god, I can't believe it. But I've always thought that, like, his death happened so quickly and almost in passing. Like, the way it was written was very deliberate, I feel, in not allowing you to feel any emotion. Like, I feel like that chapter in the graveyard, it was really written in a way where we kind of had to be feeling similar emotions to Harry, you know? Like, immediately shock, because you're like, did that actually just happen? And then you're just stressed, because all of these things keep happening. And then he gets back to school, and it's still just insane. And then whatever with Moody happens, and it's also just, like, what is happening? And then there's the explanation, and then there's all of this stuff, and then he goes, like, all of just a thousand different things. And so for me, reading the books, I feel that you don't start to feel legitimately sad until, like, this point where Harry's sitting in Dumbledore's office, finally allowed to, like, actually process his emotions and also feel them. Because, like, obviously, like, when I first read them, obviously it was, like, upsetting, because it was, like, nothing like this has ever really happened in the series up to this point. Like, this is the first time that we really witness, like, a legitimate tragedy, and I just don't think that anyone, like, especially, obviously, Harry, but, like, I don't think readers necessarily do or are supposed to really process Cedric's death until this moment, right when Harry's starting to, because I feel like the past couple chapters have been written so that we're going on a similar emotional journey as Harry. And so this chapter, honestly, of this book is always the worst, because it's, like, it's just sad. Like, legitimately, this is the first chapter where it's, like, the emotion you're feeling is sad and not, like, sympathy or, like, pain or stress and, like, all that other stuff. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's also, this chapter is very much, if anything, is just giving the readers time to breathe anyway. Because, yeah. I mean, the last chapter is kind of what it always is. It's just closing off ends of storylines that they've established. But, like, this is just, I mean, there's not a lot that happens in this chapter. It's just kind of, a lot of things just happened, so everybody needs time to process this.
Yeah. I think that's also exactly the point, too, because Harry hasn't even processed what's happened to him tonight. He hasn't felt sad. He hasn't felt anything but, like, pure adrenaline and shock and all of that. And so I think that was exactly the point. And not only does every book need a chapter where everyone can, like, chill out and, like, take a second, but it's also because I think we were very much supposed to take a similar emotional journey as Harry in these couple chapters. Because, yeah, I really don't think for a second that he was really able to feel anything but, like, fear and adrenaline and shock at, like, anything besides that for the past several chapters. Like, you know, he gets back to school, everyone's watching him, he's sitting there holding Cedric's body, and, like, everyone's immediately swarming him, and all he can say is that, like, Voldemort's come back, and then there's the reactions from everyone, and, like, he's not even feeling anything. He's just feeling shock and, like, I guess probably intense, like, relief that he's not still in the graveyard. And then he goes to Moody's office and immediately starts being weirded out by Moody. And then that whole fiasco happens. And then he finally gets this office with the two people he's probably, two adults he probably trusts more than anyone at this point. And is like, I think that, yeah, I just think that it was very deliberate, and that this is the moment when he's actually feeling, like, sad.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Great. Yep. Good talk. Anyways.
Yep. Team out. That's what they do in sports, right? Yeah.
Dumbledore. Round them up. Serious. What?
Nope. Just continue.
Dumbledore then fills Sirius in on what Barty Crouch Jr. told them, and Fox lands on Harry and heals his wounds. Harry is asked by Dumbledore to recount the events of that evening, and despite Sirius trying to step in, Dumbledore insists. I think, yeah, I always kind of, like, wish that we saw more of Sirius and Harry interacting like that, because I really feel like that was one of Sirius's few moments where he, like, stepped in as a guardian when he was like, don't question him anymore, he's exhausted. I mean, like, Dumbledore was right that he needed to, like, tell it again and, like, actually, but still, I wish that, like, honestly, one of the few things that legitimately brought me pain, like, actually me feeling emotional distress, was the fact that Harry and Sirius had so little time together. Like, legitimately, when I read The Order of the Phoenix, I felt empty for weeks. I was 10 years old.
I literally closed the book and didn't touch it for so long after Sirius died.
I was in class when I finished the whole book, and I just remember closing it, and I was just like, I was 10 years old, and I was in such ridiculous amounts of emotional pain that I literally could not continue for, like, a really long time. It was just so funny to me that I was, like, feeling that degree of, like, sadness and, like, grief. I was 10 years old, but seriously.
I mean, yeah, well, like, we'll get to his death when we get to his death, obviously. And so, like, when it happened, this girl already spoiled it for me, and I already talked about this girl before, because he spoiled both Sirius and Dobby's death for me. And I just gotta say, if it was me now and she had done that, I probably would have smashed her head in with the book.
No, that's what I was about to say. I would strangle someone. I was so serious when I was reading these the first time around. I was like, if anyone says anything,
I could not, I can just not imagine the disrespect to have to somebody to do that. Like, what? Literally. What brings you to that? What? Why would you do that? So when it happened, I, like, obviously there's, like, it's meant to have, like, some kind of questions around his death. You know, like, is he really dead? Like, is he just gonna come back or something? But, like, because I knew that he actually died, I knew, and I was just like, I've had it. I'm done.
I was so shocked. And it's the way, honestly, the way, and we'll talk about this more later, but, like, the way it's written, too, is just such, like, that there's commotion, and then it happens, and there's just stillness for a moment. And then everything comes crashing down, and you're like, what? You know, because it's like, there's just spells being fired in every direction, people yelling, people, like, all of these things, commotion. They have that little moment, and then he's dead, and then it's just, like, everything stops. And it's like, I always thought that was really interesting, because it's like, obviously it's from Harry's point of view, and it's so interesting that it's written that way, because that's basically, like, that's in his mind, is just his mind is going 100 miles a minute because they're battling Death Eaters, and then the entire world stops, like, when Sirius dies, and for, like, at least a second. And it's just, like, honestly, though, about, like, quickly, about the movies, okay, I've gotta say, of the child actors in that series, Daniel Radcliffe did some pretty fantastic work. Order of the Phoenix was some of his best work ever.
Yeah.
The Department of Mysteries, just excellent. Like, in the moment that Sirius died and after, just so good. Like,
juicy, palpable.
Ew! Okay.
Why'd you have to make it weird? I don't know.
Anyways, what was it? Okay, wait. I have a question. So, in the moment when Harry tells Dumbledore, like, yeah, Voldemort used my blood to bring himself back to life, and he says that he thought he might have seen in Dumbledore's eyes, like, gleam for a moment with what almost looked like triumph. Like, I've always wondered what you thought, like, he was thinking in that moment.
I absolutely think he's just pieced everything together in that exact moment.
What do you mean by that?
I think that's when he realized that Harry was the key to defeating Voldemort. This is the setup for the pig to the slaughter kind of thing. I think this is...
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're right. Wait, so let me think about this. Before Voldemort had regained his body, Harry, in relation to this movement, let's just say, really, he was kind of just a huge role in it because of the role he played in Voldemort's downfall. But if Voldemort had regained his body and not used Harry's blood, Harry necessarily wouldn't, besides the fact that he was the reason for it all and Voldemort was, like, out to get him, he really did not necessarily need to play a bigger role in this than anyone else.
Yeah.
But he did because when Voldemort came back, he used his blood, and in that moment, okay, yeah. So that's when Dumbledore realized that Harry was no longer just...
Before this, Harry was kind of a child soldier for Dumbledore. Like, he knew that Voldemort would go out to get him, so he needs to be prepared to fight him. Yes. But I think from this moment on, he's like, even if he doesn't exactly know... I mean, he already probably has a suspicion about Horcruxes at this point, but I feel like he maybe not doesn't exactly know what it will lead to, but he knows that they're now connected by blood. So I think... he knows that Harry's sacrifice might end up happening, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so it's like, yeah, because before this, let's just say no matter what, whose blood Voldemort used, the final thing between him and Harry would have eventually happened, whether it was at the Battle of Hogwarts or before or whatever. Yeah, because Harry, he would have gone after Harry no matter what, because Harry was the reason for his downfall, whatever, whatever. But, yeah, and so in that case, Dumbledore knew that he had to prepare Harry to fight him in that respect, but Harry wasn't necessarily the key to ending him.
Yeah.
For any reason besides the fact that he was probably the one person that would get closest to him fighting. But then when Voldemort...
Well, the prophecy is still...
Yes, yes. But then when Voldemort used his blood, he legitimately became the only thing that could, like...
It's also kind of crazy, like, it's kind of a perspective thing, that kind of now on throughout the series, Harry couldn't have really died. Because he has that blood magic surrounding him, you know? Like, so Harry couldn't have died, at least at the hands of Voldemort, for the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because let's just say... If there in the graveyard, Voldemort would have somehow hit Harry with the killing curse, would the exact same thing that happened in the seventh book happen to him there, and Harry would have just been knocked out for a second?
Probably.
Yeah. So it was just by, I guess, lucky chance that Voldemort didn't kill him until the seventh book, because then that was just at the perfect time for them.
Yeah. Because
it wouldn't necessarily have been convenient for them... in this moment, Harry were to lose the piece of Voldemort in him, because that would have prevented... Well, actually, though, yeah, they used that to kind of keep an eye on Voldemort and all of these things, but, like, that would have prevented Sirius's death, probably, because Voldemort wouldn't have ever been able to go inside his mind and alter his memories and his dreams and stuff. So, if Harry were to have lost the piece of Voldemort that was in him, like, I guess the last Horcrux or whatever, in this book, and still escaped and whatever, honestly, that really wouldn't have hurt them in the end.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah. Because Harry would be in the same mentality, mostly. Mm-hmm. So, everything would probably go the same way.
I kind of wonder, though, because then Dumbledore really wouldn't have... But then...
No, but also...
What?
Harry went into the forest not thinking that he was a Horcrux and gonna survive that, so he would have gone into the forest and died.
This episode is brought to you by the Big Red Button Podcast.
Do you know what you'd do in a nuclear apocalypse?
Because we sure as quack don't.
See how our choices get us into trouble and back out again in this actual play podcast.
Big Red Button is for lovers of the Fallout franchise, choose your own adventures, and tabletop role-playing games rolled into one big audio drama.
Our band of stragglers is unraveling a mystery in the wasteland, and we're at the mercy of the roll of the dice.
So grab your Geiger counters, take your rat away, and subscribe to our new show, The Big Red Button.
already looked in Snape's memories? Isn't that where he found out, or am I remembering wrong?
I mean, yes, but he didn't think he was gonna survive.
Oh, that's what, yeah. Yeah. It's so confusing. My head is gonna explode. Okay, but no, yeah, I do think you're right, that in that moment, he was like, yeah, because it said his eyes gleamed with triumph. So I guess in all the years of trying to figure out how they're going to defeat him in the end, Dumbledore just found his ticket. In a way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Harry gets to the point in the story where the wand's connected. Dumbledore briefly explains Priory Incantatum and shares with Harry that his and Voldemort's wand cores came from Fox. When Harry couldn't go on anymore, Dumbledore sent him to the hospital wing. When he arrived, the Weasleys were all waiting for him, but Dumbledore asked that they not ask him any questions. Harry then took a sleeping potion and went to sleep. He woke hours later to the sound of yelling in the hallway. Also, why does everyone go to the hospital wing to yell at each other?
For plot convenience?
All of the fights are in the hospital wing. Just, like, all the time. I'm like, why are you going to bother the sick people with your arguments? Like, anyways, McGonagall and Fudge burst in the middle of a massive argument. Dumbledore arrives, and McGonagall tells everyone that Fudge had a dementor perform the kiss on Barty Crouch Jr. I have always thought that this was a very calculated move on Fudge's part to basically make sure that no semi-credible witness could testify. Or, rather, not even someone semi-credible, but someone he couldn't easily make not credible. Because with Dumbledore and Harry, these are people believed to be, like, normal, good people, you know? And he could easily twist that around and be like, well, he's crazy and he's supporting him, so he's crazy. But even though Barty Crouch Jr. is probably clinically insane and is also a Death Eater and inherently untrustworthy, it would be difficult to make people not believe his testimony as someone who was a Death Eater. You know, Barty Crouch Jr. is not necessarily someone that he could make people across the board basically believe that he just had no idea what he was talking about. With Dumbledore and Harry, I feel like it's easier to, in this
case, the public is generally in good view of Barty Crouch Jr., it seems like. Because they feel bad for this kid.
Yeah.
They
that as well,
look very negatively on Barty Crouch for what he did to his son. So I feel like if Barty Crouch Jr. played it off the same way he did in the first trial, like, the general public might lean to his side.
Exactly. Like, I think Fudge definitely saw the beginnings of, like, what could happen if he let Barty Crouch Jr. live, basically. I know that he's not dead, but he's as good as dead. But so, like, I think that he kind of considered, he's like, okay, who can I make the public believe is too crazy to trust? And it's not Barty Crouch Jr., because not only can he gain the public's pity and sympathy, he also, despite being crazy, actually, the craziest of the three of them, and a former Death Eater, it's like, that kind of testimony is one that people would be hard-pressed to ignore. And that, of course, Fudge sees as what could just start, you know, fear and all kinds of stuff that he just is too much of an idiot to deal with. And so I think then and there he decided that his new angle was to make people not trust the people that they had trusted for years. That was another extremely calculated move on his part. The people have trusted Dumbledore for years. Harry brought Voldemort down. And if they think that he's now insane and lying and trying to make people afraid that Voldemort is back, the only people they're going to think to trust are people in positions of power like Fudge, which is what he wanted, because then he was able to brainwash them all into thinking that everything was fine. And so I've always thought that, as disgusting as he is, that was extremely calculated on his part, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and he just played it off as being an idiot. Here's also where we see kind of the beginnings of how dangerous Fudge is, like his just total ignorance and, more than anything, cowardice. Because he refuses to believe Harry and cites Rita Skeeter as a reason to believe he's unstable. And, like, and then, you know, Dumbledore tells Fudge he needs to get to work, sending envoys to the Giants and sending the Dementors away from Azkaban, but, of course, Fudge says no.
Okay, but...
Snape, go ahead.
I mentioned at the beginning of this book that I feel like this book feels like the first book that feels like Harry Potter is a series. Because it feels like... At the beginning, like, they're bringing in pieces that directly were from Prisoner of Azkaban, like, immediately, and trying to connect it more. And this is very, like, this is directly setting up the next book. And
yeah,
not in just, like, a subtle way. Like, when you're reading this, you can tell that this is going to be important for the next book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sneak peek, you know? Like, this is what makes it cohesive. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Snape even goes so far as to show his dark mark, which is still black from the night before. And here we witness, just like the chapter name, a very definitive parting of ways between Fudge and Dumbledore. Because it's like, this is very much like a huge turning point. Dumbledore has always coexisted quite peacefully with the ministry. And now, because it's like, it's not even that Fudge won't believe Harry, it's that he won't act on it. He won't let on that he knows. And it's just like, I think that's so, it's reckless. He knows that he's playing with people's lives and he's still refusing to do it because he's too much of an idiot to do his job, you know? And so, yeah, this is like, it's very, very... you can feel it when you read it. Why did you just take a FaceTime photo of me?
Stop. Just go.
Okay. This is like... yeah, it's a moment in the series that's like, you feel it. You feel that this is going to set the tone for the next book or the next several. Because it's like, up until now, it's been very clear that while Dumbledore is obviously someone who kind of does his own thing, he's always, everything between Hogwarts and the ministry has always felt kind of peaceful and just, it's just there. But now, it's like you can feel the mood really shift, and you can tell that now, like, it sets the tone for what's going to be going on between Dumbledore and the ministry from now on, until they resolve it. Yeah.
Now it's personal.
Okay. Fudge leaves and leaves Harry with his winnings. Dumbledore sends some of the group away and has Sirius, Sirius come out of dog form and say hi to Snape, insisting that they shake hands because they're now fighting on the same team. Sirius is sent away to alert former Order members, and Snape is sent on a very ominous mission that was also presented very vaguely, that is definitely, obviously, going to Voldemort to establish his cover story. Dumbledore goes downstairs to meet with the Diggerys, and Harry is left to take the rest of his sleeping potion. He tries giving the winnings to Mrs. Weasley, insisting that it's his fault they aren't Cedric's. Okay, but, like, that part is so sad, when he's, like, taken his potion and he's like about to pass out and all he's talking about is how it's his fault that like Cedric is dead. Like, the amount of grief that Harry feels throughout this series is ridiculous. Like, because it's like, honestly, like I said, this is really the first time that Harry is like truly experienced like something like this before. It's like, yes, he lived through the death of his parents, but he was so young that he hardly remembers it. And it's not really, like, he didn't necessarily grieve, but now he's here, like, you know, here after this whole thing happened. And this is truly, like, the first, like, tragedy, like, he's lived through, which is kind of interesting. Because that's also, like, a huge tone shift that's happening in the series, is the introduction of, like, legitimate tragedies. You know, because it's like, that's never necessarily something that I expected when I was reading this series. And Cedric's death really changes everything because it's introducing the possibility of, like, actually experiencing, like, death in this series, which is interesting. So, okay. Then, weirdly enough, the window suddenly slams and we see Hermione there with something clutched in her hand.
Wild.
What it could be. Okay, yeah. Chapter 37, the beginning. Harry meets with the Diggorys, and they're both very emotional, but they don't blame him for what happened to Cedric, and they also refuse to take his winnings. The next several weeks, everyone avoids Harry in the corridors and gossips as he walks by. I will never understand how ridiculously brave you have to be to gossip about someone in their face.
In their face? Yeah, that sounds pretty ridiculous.
Literally, okay, but, like, the kids at Hogwarts are the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Every single time Harry's involved in something, it always is like, yeah, and people whispered about him in the corridors. I'm like, what is wrong with these kids? Like, what is going on? So, then the trio visits Hagrid, and he gives them very minimal details about his and Madame Maxime's assignment with the Giants.
You know why? It's because they're all millennials.
If you're saying something, I can't hear you.
Never mind.
No, you were just talking quietly.
No, I'm just... It's fine.
What?
It's fine. I don't want to talk about it.
What?
I was wrong. It wasn't even a right statement. It wasn't funny. No one laughed.
The Leaving Feast was dedicated to Cedric, and Dumbledore shared with the students how it was that Cedric died and honored his memory. Fleur finds Harry to say goodbye, and... goodbye to him... What? Oh, sorry. I didn't add any punctuation to that sentence, and it was really confusing. Anyways, Fleur finds Harry to say goodbye, and also says goodbye to Ron, and he basically explodes when she looks at him. Crumb also says goodbye to Harry, and says that he always liked Cedric. Also, I wonder if Crumb knew that he was bewitched by Moody into torturing Cedric. Like, is that something they told him? How do you tell someone that?
Do people generally know after if they've been bewitched?
If they've been under the Imperius Curse?
Yeah.
I think that if it's for long periods of time, you would because of the gaps in your memory.
Yeah.
But because it was only for maybe an hour...
But it also was a very significant event. I think he'd question if he didn't remember the third task, which he's probably been anticipating.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that... Did he know? Maybe that's why he told Harry that he'd always liked Cedric. Because he probably felt guilty.
It also depends when Moody imperiused him. Because he wouldn't really have a reason to stay hidden about it. Because if the plan worked out, he would have been high sailing. Like, he didn't have to be undercover anymore.
Yeah. I feel like he probably knew, and I feel like that's probably why he told Harry that he had always liked Cedric, because Cedric died thinking that, like, because, like, I always forget, and I know I literally just read this chapter, like, a week ago, but, like, in the movie, Harry sees it in Crumb's eyes that he's under the Imperius Curse, but I don't think that happens in the book, and I don't know why I can't remember right now.
You can't see it, because the whole point is that nobody can.
Exactly. They just had to do that in the movie, or people would be like, how do you know? But, so Cedric died thinking that Crumb, like, fully tortured him on purpose. And so I think that at this point, Crumb had to know, and that's probably why he went up to Harry and said that he'd always liked Cedric.
Yeah.
Ron also finally works up the nerve to get an autograph from Crumb.
Yay! Two of his crushes in the same day. It's a good day for Ron.
The train ride back was subdued other than when Hermione told them how she had caught Rita Skeeter. Which basically is that Rita Skeeter is an unregistered animagus and she can turn into a beetle. And that's how she's been spying on people all year. And think back to all the times when randomly, in the book, it was like, and then Hermione pulled a beetle out of her hair. And then Harry looked at a statue and there was a beetle crawling over it while he was eavesdropping on Hagrid's conversation. And then, like, all of these things.
Wow. So, yeah, she could turn into a beetle. I think I remember that.
Honestly, though, I would have chosen, like, a bird. At least something interesting. Beetles are kind of...
She didn't choose.
Okay, this is the thing I feel like we've discussed before. Do you not get to choose the animal you...
I don't think so.
No, I definitely think so, because in the third book, when the Marauders basically talk about that, they discuss Peter turning into a rat so that he would be small enough to press the knot on the tree.
No, I think that was a happenstance. I don't think he purposefully turned into a rat.
Does it just pick your alter ego and
I think
Peter Pettigrew just ended up with a rat?
I mean, is that not accurate?
No, yeah, but, like, still... Okay.
Yeah, I would be...
Like, I understand.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want to become an animagus just because I feel like it would not boost my ego. Like, it would tell me I'm, like, cough syrup, and I'd be like, what the hell does that mean?
Maybe if cough syrup was an animal.
Yeah, I think, actually, I feel like that could be really useful. Like, quick, Voldemort's coming. Oh no! I'm just cough syrup. What are you gonna do? You know? Unless Voldemort has a cold, because then he's going to put me down his throat.
Anyways, Malfoy and his friends.
What happens?
Hey, Harry, and the others,
is that like my blood and organs down Voldemort's throat?
Of physical deformities and unconsciousness. Fred and George also share the story of Ludo Bagman with the group, and apparently Ludo Bagman is now on the run from angry goblins.
Do we ever see him again?
When the train arrives in King's Cross...
That was not an answer.
And insists, what?
That was not an answer to my question. I asked if we ever see him again.
Yes? Don't they in the seventh book when... Is he not one of the people who's with Dean and Ted Tonks on the run?
He might be.
I don't remember. I could definitely be wrong, but it's fine. Anyways, when the train arrives in King's Cross, Harry pulls the twins aside and insists they take the prize money to start their joke shop. I believe the three options he presented were take it, get hexed, or he would throw the money down the drain. So they did the reasonable thing and took the money and agreed to get Ron new dress robes. Harry got into the Dursley's car and resolved that whatever came his way would, and he would just have to meet it when it did. And the book is over!
What? Oh my god.
Time for trivia! Oh my god, it's the last trivia of Goblet of Fire!
Wow.
Okay, you don't care, it's fine.
No, it's crazy. But also, you have to think that this year... I guess you could argue it could be over the summer. But also it was probably a turning point for Dudley. Like, because now he's not like a childhood bully anymore. Now he's like part of an actual gang. So it's kind of curious. They kind of had similar character development. Because now they're both kind of tough. And as we'll see in the coming episodes... extremely annoying and frustrating. Oh, I can't wait to scream in Order of the Phoenix.
I love Order of the Phoenix.
I love
Order of the Phoenix. They're tied for my favorite books. Oh, also, the episode's not over yet because we haven't done trivia, but I just can't wait until we do the movie episode, because that used to be my favorite movie until I rewatched it and had to take notes on it and was like, God, this is unorganized.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I mean, this is like a little preview, but like, this movie makes no sense if you have not read the book.
The thing is I forget that because I've read the books. And so when I used to watch the movies, it was, like, fun. I was like, oh, cool. You know, whatever, movies. And then now that I'm actually having to analyze them, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Anyways, would you like to go first for trivia? Oh, guys, I can finally hear Colin this week.
Yay. Let's see how long that lasts. My questions are horrible. So
it's mine, too.
Priori incantatum is called the what effect.
Why don't I know this? Is it the something wands effect?
No!
Fuck. Yeah, not gonna happen. I've had a long day, guys. My school went into lockdown for 2 hours after school, and it's been rough.
Yep. I wasn't there, so I guess I have guardian angels looking over me, so.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad.
Yeah. You don't, so. It's called the reverse spell effect.
Oh, I never would have remembered that. Okay. Fill in the blanks. Malfoy was cleared, said Fudge, visibly blank. It's a good SAT word for all of you guys taking the SAT. I don't think it's actually on, like, the official list, but it's a good adjective. Is it magic? Yes. It's a good adjective.
Blasphemous.
No.
Nice that, are you sure that's though. Not on the SAT? Yeah, I give up.
Okay, affronted.
Close enough.
Huh?
Close enough.
Yeah, here's 2 points, actually.
Who does Fudge say is now working for the ministry that was a Death Eater?
McNair?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fill in the blanks. Of course you can, said Mrs. Weasley. She was blank to the lips, but she looked blank.
Blue?
No, but good guess.
Can't imagine there's many other colors that your lips would be. She was purple. She was green. She was red. I could be brown. I could be blue. I could be violet.
Stop it. Okay, no. White.
Oh.
As in, like, shocked, appalled. That's, like, a thing.
Thank you,
like,
for, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna let you have your 2 guesses for the last word, because, yeah. Okay, so it's, of course you can, said Mrs. Weasley. She was white to the lips, but she looked blank. So think like a contrasting adjective to, like, you know, frightened, shocked.
I'm thinking angry. I'm not thinking angry. I'm thinking happy. I'm thinking... relieved? No. I'm actually not thinking relieved. I'm starting to think that it's something... Maybe she's sad. Maybe she's really, really sad. No, she's really confused. She's baffled. She's...
Think contrasting to, like, worried, shocked, apprehensive.
I said relieved. Is that not the opposite of worried?
Okay, I guess, but not necessarily.
No, definitely so, it is the opposite of worried.
Okay, you know what? Never mind then. Take your 2 guesses.
That's it. I'm done.
Okay, resolute.
I think relieved is a bit better of a word to be the opposite of.
Okay. Email J.K. Rowling about
I
that.
I will.
And I'm sure she'll.
I'll it. Have several things to say, actually.
Be like, okay, the only thing I could ever have to say to you is, why didn't she use a different adjective here?
Yeah, and also, fuck you. My turn?
That just cut out. What did
my
you say?
Turn? Oh, ha, ha, ha.
I can hear
my turn? I, yes. That really sounded like Jim Carrey. That was a little scary.
Maybe you are Jim Carrey.
Oh my god. Don't make me steal Christmas. Who does McGonagall send to go get Winky?
McGonagall sends them?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Madame Pomfrey?
Yep. Poppy! Yes. Poppy!
fill in the blanks. He could feel a blank, blank feeling in the inner corners of his eyes. There are two adjectives.
Pressed.
What?
Pressed.
In the inner corners of his eyes?
Yep, he's like, oh!
Okay.
I give up.
What?
I give up. I give up. Mike Wazowski.
It's he could feel a burning, prickling feeling in the inner corners of his eyes.
Whatever. This is so easy. What is the drawing for the final chapter?
I actually don't think I know.
Are you serious?
Wait, what's it called? It's called The Beginning.
I watched it begin again.
Is it the prize money?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
It's Rita Skeeter as a beetle on a leaf.
Oh, yeah, I never would have remembered that. Okay, the mugs Hagrid had in his hut were compared to the size of what?
Mushrooms.
No.
Those are really tiny.
Your laugh.
Trash can.
No, but
no, they already
guess.
Used that for the hands.
Yeah, no. Buckets.
Bucket.
Okay, ask your question.
You're gonna hate me for this one. What is the last word of the book?
Did?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
How did you...
No, because I remember, because it's, when he said, like, whatever
what would come,
come his
would
way.
Come, and he would have to meet it when it did.
That's literally, I wrote that in my plot notes.
Nice. Didn't hear that, so clearly
oh
I wasn't paying attention.
I definitely said it.
So.
Yep. Okay, how many months was the real Moody imprisoned by Barty Crouch Jr.?
58.
No. You didn't even try. So easy to figure out.
What the? Shut up! Well, I have nothing to lose. So, when do British people start school? Is it the same time as us?
They literally say it every single book.
Early May or early June. Right? No, when is Harry's birthday? It's June something. Fuck. No, it's not. It's not. It's actually not. I'm beginning to think it's not. Maybe it's July. It's July. Oh, wow. It seems like it's July. It's probably...
So many hints.
So I'm assuming it starts not in July. I'm assuming it starts in... What's after July? March, April, May, June, July, September. August. August. It's August, actually. So, I'd actually feel a little embarrassed if I were you right now.
What?
It's August!
Just kidding!
Oh. Well, now I feel embarrassed. August slipped away, And it's Hogwarts. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Okay, good, because you're right.
Yes! Yes! Oh my gosh. I win.
Yay. Do you have another question?
No.
Okay. Well, I won trivia today 3-1, so I'll
But
be
did you really win? Think about that.
So I'll be asking. Did you have fun the day of order?
Did you have as much fun as I did? Wait. We have to rank the books once again.
Oh, I thought you said rake, and I was like leaves.
Nope. Not quite.
Anyways. Great. Thanks. Okay. Okay. I still think Goblet of Fire is my number one. This is subject to change after Order of the Phoenix. It's going to go Goblet of Fire, Order of the Phoenix.
No, we're reading the books we've read so far.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Sorry.
Okay, Goblet of Fire, Prisoner of Azkaban, Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets.
You're not going to like mine.
Are you going to put Sorcerer's Stone first?
No, I'm going to put Prisoner of Azkaban first.
No, I know, I was joking. Both of us hated Sorcerer's Stone.
I think you mean Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, but still, Sorcerer's Stone was not a high point either.
Actually, next I'm going to put Sorcerer's Stone, and then I'm going to put Goblet of Fire, and then I'm going to put Chamber of Secrets.
No way!
Yeah. I don't know what about this book that I don't like as much as the rest for some reason. I don't know, it's too sporty. Like, I don't know. I'm just not into the whole tournament thing. I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get this book. Let's burn it in a trash fire. I'm never gonna read it again.
In a trash fire.
Because okay, it's trash. Awesome.
Anyways, thank you guys who have been listening to Goblet of Fire.
Thank you.
We have the movie episode left, and then please come back for Order the
Phoenix.
Wait.
It's
going to be great.
I'm just going to say it now. I'm going to bite my tongue if this doesn't actually happen. But I'm pretty sure when this episode comes out, we'll have hit 10,000 downloads.
Oh my god.
So
wait, how many are we at right now? Hold on. Today is January 10th, 2022.
Well, no, don't tell them because then they're going to actually find out if I'm wrong.
Okay, so that part has been since beeped out in editing, so you actually don't know the date. Currently, as we are recording this on a day that you don't know, we have 9,418 downloads, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. We, as much as you may not believe us, we do really appreciate you and enjoy the fact that you are here listening to us talk about mostly
every single
things.
Moment. We treasure it. We keep it under our pillow when we sleep at night. We think about you. 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 Hey, Karen, I know you're doing your laundry right now. But I want you to know that I appreciate you.
Right now.
Oh, you're multitasking, you know?
Yeah, also eating my lunch right now.
Oh my gosh, that is a girl boss if I've ever seen one.
Anyways, thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Ron and Hermione Minus the Bromance. Please come back for the Goblet of Fire movie episode.
And Order of the Phoenix!
Yay!
Yay!
Be sure to go rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify now. And please go check out our website and the bios I added because I am very proud of them. Also, you can email us at VulcanoffBones@gmail. And what's the other thing? Yeah, follow us on Instagram at Ron and Hermione minus the romance.
We have a total of 15 followers now. That's a big deal.
We're moving up in the world.
Yep.
We recently got a follow and a DM from someone who said that they only downloaded Instagram because we kept bothering them about it. So I appreciate you. Yeah. You know who you are. And everyone else, do that. Download Instagram. Yeah. Follow us. And then maybe we'll actually post things.
Yeah.
So
that's our favorite thing we do, is when we beg people to do things and then don't actually do anything about it. Don't talk to us about Patreon.
Yeah, but if you would like to talk about Patreon, it exists, and it will be linked under, or at least talked about
and
in the description.
And if you became one of our patrons, I'm sure we'd be much, much, much encouraged to actually do things. So.
Very true. So, anyways, I'm not repeating all of that, but you heard it, so just be sure to come back to listen to Order of the Phoenix, and even better, the disaster that is the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire movie.